I feel a sense of the Filipino young people, the younger ones, who are now asking that big question that we were asking or doing. And they say, great. So now, a lot of the activities going on right now is development of ethnic studies, history, culture, the dances, and it's getting bigger. The Asian, the Filipino festival, for instance, picking up more. And classes in different schools, universities, high school, as well as the colleges, they are moving in the direction of, hey, let's have some Filipino-American ethnic studies. I just started a new class here at Cerritos Community College, a Filipino American experience. Yeah, history 69.1, and it just started. And there's about 20-25 students, including some adults from the community who say, "Yeah, hey, we're interested. We want to know." And you ask the question, "What do you know? What do you want to know?" And they said, "We want to know everything because it seems like we don't have anything." And we're just moving along without any kind of historical roots. How come all the other groups have some historical roots and we don't have any? And I say, hey, you have plenty over there. You just haven't discovered it. You know, so that's part of what we're trying to do. UCLA classes.
One thing I wanted to know was whether you had ever encountered racial prejudice.
In some overt and some subtle ways, I have, you know, in terms of dating, I would say, you know, in the camp, in Chapman, for instance, in campus, there are only certain people I could get close to, you know, and when it's sort of dating, you know, I didn't realize it then, but I guess it was, I was only 18, 19, you know. The only certain people would run around with us, so to speak. And then later on, I felt that that was a part of the racism prejudice that was going through. However, I was also invited in some of the American homes, you know, where I was going there with some friends to their family for Thanksgiving, etc. So that's one. The one that I really encountered that we would was when we were in the army. Yeah, so I was mostly in the campus, so you didn't only whatever happens in the campus and dating, etc. But when we were in the army, we really did face some racism there. It's more related to social activities where we would go out into the neighborhood or into the cities where we would be invited in certain places, or we go someplace where we're not supposed to do, and they kind of tell you or give you a slight comment. There's one that I remember very well would be when we had a mixture of group that hangs around together, and we would go to a social dancing place. And I remember very vividly this one, where they said, "We'll sell you guys the tickets, and you guys can go in, but I don't think anybody's going to dance with you guys." Okay, that kind of comment. We did not pick it up, but the black dude picked it up. Well, our friend, black guy, and from Philadelphia. And said, "Hey, Roy, I know what they're talking about." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, let's go check it." I said, "I don't think we should go because we might get into some trouble." I said, "Why?" And then he would say, that was a hint telling us that we look different, we shouldn't go in there. I said, "Oh, okay, so can we get our money back?" He says, "Yeah, take your money back." And they were very willing. So we took our money back. And another time in the area towards Seattle, some places, where we would go into a restaurant and we would not get served. And this is 60s. We would not get served, or we would be the last one to be served. And we're just going to wait for an hour and a half, you know. And our friend would point that out again and say, I think it's, and now he said, maybe because we're mixed here or maybe because I'm here. But then we figure, he said, "Hey man, we all look alike. We're the same minority, right?" But we had a white dude with us too, Jewish. And he said, "Well, if one gets it, we all get it, then let's get out of it." You know, that kind of a thing. And then here in LA, I think it was more of a living. You know, when I just got married, and this was again the 60s, middle 60s, where we would try to And I don't have to mention places. I wanted to rent a place and get a house or apartment. And there's a big sign saying, you know, it's available. We would go, and they said, it's already taken. And so, okay, we don't take it. But then we go by the next week and still open. And then we asked finally, and at that time, you know, 60s, you know, we're into civil rights. I said, hey, man, this shouldn't be happening. So then we would get our friends to call in, and it says, yeah, it's available.
So there were methods that people used to deal,
yeah.
Like getting somebody else to call or...
Yeah, to say, check it out. You know. And then we don't say, oh, that's what it is. We didn't bother housing. That's part of the thing, I guess, that in the 60s, 70s, late 60s, 70s, I got involved into fair housing. One way our activist activity we were was going into fair housing and supporting the issues. And I think that was one of the reasons, I think.
Because of your own experience.
Yeah. And besides the stories we hear and all that. Yeah.
I'd like to hear more time right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop, and then we could see if we can continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.